You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm talking about who we are. You know, I think that a lot of times we try to define ourselves, and I think that the toughest question in life that we want an answer to as an adult and throughout our entire life is who we are. What defines us, and who do we actually want to be? You know, defining ourselves is a process we journey through our entire life. From what we think we should be, who or what others are, what's the best choice for us at the time. And the older we get, we begin to wonder what's the best choice for our future. Throughout our childhood years, we use words like cool and nerd and dorky and smarty and all these other little names that we create as a child. And depending on the name our parent gave us at birth, you know, we're either left alone by the kids at school or we're in constant torture. You know, as we continue to proceed throughout our childhood, we begin to define ourselves. We define ourselves, we define our surroundings, and we begin putting personal judgment on ourselves. And this is the beginning of our time to feel lesser than, to sometimes feel sad, feeling helpless, and it seems that our determination feels weakened. We take a step back, feeling left alone, unhappy, and hypercritical of ourselves and our inability to do something right. Whether we find that we're a bad student, or we can't catch a ball, we're a talker, a wallflower, a jerk, a bully. All are definitions that others have given us that we undoubtedly take on. We fill the role and we step up to the plate. Some of us tend to grow up with healthy identities, smart, beautiful cheerleader, a winner, intelligent, and the list goes on. But what happens when our definitions of ourselves are less than stellar? What happens when we feel weak, alone, and small? As a child, I did what other children did. I played on the playground, made new friends, went to the principal's office for talking way too much. Go figure. I made good grades most of the time. I made friends, and I had an overall sense of well-being. You know, however, I was dealing with something nobody knew about, and I was dealing with something I didn't even understand. I was scared to talk about it, and I didn't know how to tell my parents. I didn't know how to share with others. How could I? Maybe it would just go away. Maybe I am normal. You know, I had a health condition that I didn't understand. No, I didn't understand what was going on. I was a kid. And I remember one day talking with my mom because I was in swim class and I was constantly in pain through exercise and what have you. And I was in swim class with other girls my age. And, you know, when you're in swimsuits and people are walking around, you just have a tendency of looking to compare yourself to other people. And I realized that my body didn't look exactly like theirs. I had different kind of I had more of like a bruising type thing on my side, and I had some other differences that I could tell. And later on, I was able to get that defined years and years later after going through specialists and emergency surgeries and surgeries that put me on the table and almost killed me several times. Eventually, I was able to know what that is. It's funny how we love to have those definitions. They have to be set because otherwise it's just you don't know. And a lot of people say that it's pain enough to have the problem, but it's even worse to not know what it is that you have. And as a kid, it's just you're so young and you have no idea. And you just want to be normal. You want to be like everybody else. You know, it's interesting. Throughout grade school and middle school, I was internally battling this unknown. Not to mention the issues we dealt with as a kid in school. Remember how it was being, it was difficult to be a kid in school at that age, you know, when you're young and you're just trying to fit in. And you just wish that everything would just go smoothly. And I didn't know that later in my life this would give me an incredible courage and an internal drive to help others. You know, throughout middle school and high school and in the beginning of college, we use these identities, our personal definitions, to choose our path to select a direction in life, and we don't inherently realize we act from two positions based on the identity that we've created for ourselves. We act from a place of love, or we act from a place of fear. When we act from love, we create, we build, we illuminate, we blossom. In all these instances, we create from our heart, and from the same space, we create genius. On the other side, we act from fear. We act from a limited position with scarcity, that we aren't good enough. We aren't smart enough. And we aren't going to get what we need from life, and we'll ultimately lose. By doing this, we deepen our self-inflicted wounds, and simultaneously we give more power to our internal critic, and we inherently limit ourselves. I work with clients who are constantly operating from a place of defeat. They are defeated before they've ever tried. Why should I try? It's not going to work anyway. Why should I? You know, with most clients, this didn't begin last week, last year. This mindset took a lifetime to construct. And I listen to my clients' stories. And later on, I point out their story, but I point out their negative self-talk, their self-defeating prophecy, their internal well-constructed roadblocks who have unknowingly been put up in the way since they were constructed by themselves at an early age. You know, negative self-talk affects us all to some degree, and some of us are affected more than others. However, when we realize that our mind is an organ that is supposed to be of service to us and is supposed to work for us, we then must take on an honest look at what's truly going on. By identifying negative self-talk is the first thing that we can do. Seeing what is being said, the mind is very efficient and we can program it to believe and do absolutely anything. The more we believe in ourselves with positive intent, with care given to our words, the less the mind will speak up to bring us down. You know, the mind is many people's worst enemy in a sense because we shaped it, we programmed it, and sometimes we refuse to install a new operating system. Isn't that true? However, it's amazing the stories of heroism, the stories of passion, joy, and growth. We see children born with no legs and no arms like Bowen Toomey. And I think he's an inspiration to us all. You know, Bowen was born with one arm and no legs in Serbia and was abandoned at birth. For his first 18 months, Bowen lived in an orphanage in a tiny town in Serbia. Born with no arms or legs and abandoned as an infant, his first months were spent in a crib. He rarely interacted with anybody, from caregivers to other children. Now, it's a totally different story. Bowen swims, he paints, he draws, he feeds himself, and he can even snow ski with the help of prosthetic legs. Bowen is a true leader. He's not defined by his missing arms and legs. Instead, he can do anything he wants. He is powerful and believes in himself. You are a survivor. Begin to realize your value. You offer something amazing to this world, and you offer something that no one else offers. You're unique and beautiful, and the sooner you realize that, the sooner you understand you. To be you, to live your true life, and to know you are a pioneer, not a prisoner. And there is no set design, and you are actually one of a kind. I find many of my clients are taking at least one, if not more, pharmaceuticals. They either take these to calm down, to mellow out, to be less anxious, less depressed. It seems like they're looking for that next happiness pill, the happiness drug, really. The drug that will essentially erase them of all their feelings of not being good enough, and allow them to live with absolutely no cares and worries whatsoever. Unfortunately, up to now, today, I've not found that drug for sale yet. There's no company making it at this time, and it's not on the market. Some people think that life is supposed to feel like a one big party, constantly having fun, no downtime, no thoughts of ever having any thoughts of self-doubt. It's a cotton candy funnel cake festival 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. However, we must get real and understand that life is good, and the better we are to ourselves and to others, the better our life becomes. You know, the more we go outside of ourselves and honestly feel empathy and show compassion, we move from our problems. I found when we help others, it goes a long way to helping ourselves. We suddenly realize there's more to life than ourselves, and it seems for the first time we're able to follow in ourselves and we see value in others. You know, valuing ourselves in a non-narcissistic way is undervalued and for some seems entirely too difficult. When we return, I'll be talking about how to value yourself in a non-narcissistic way, what it means, and how you can incorporate it into your life right now, today, and make your life even better. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives will be back. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about defining ourselves. Our whole life we've been trying to figure out who we are and what we're doing. What matters and how do we define ourselves? And I believe that this is something we deal with our entire life. Our entire life we deal with defining ourselves, figuring out who we are. How are we? How good are we? What are we not good at? What can we do better? What do we just not even want to try? And I think valuing ourselves is so important. But we have to value ourselves in a non-narcissistic way. When I say in a non-narcissistic way, I'm meaning without the jerk gene. Without the jerk gene. The A word was my first choice, however jerk works. So we'll go with jerk. Ass, without the ass gene. Let's just say that. We work with folks who may have the tendency to puff themselves up with an inflated ego. And we may see that as self-value. But you and I both know that an ego does not define value. Because that's not what I'm talking about. I speak of the value that comes from within, that comes from our heart, that we radiate ourselves and others, and it comes from a place of love. For a minute, I want us to switch conversations here and talk about guilt. By the way, if you didn't know this by now, guilt is one of the biggest killers of happiness and clarity. The more guilt that fills our mind, the more worry and fear we carry. Some of you can relate with guilt and understand when it comes to the guilt we feel with our family. You're not coming home this holiday? Have you called your grandmother? She'd like to hear from you. I'd love to see you, but I know you're extremely busy and probably don't have time for me. I can feel the guilt instantly after these comments, like a dagger to the heart. Our minds are filled with comments like these. We feel guilty, therefore strengthening the belief that we are not what? We're not good enough. Reaffirming our inadequacies. How can I be a good mother, a wife, a husband? How can you be good at one thing and not good at something totally different? Because it's interesting because guilt makes us question everything else about our life. It's a self-destructive emotion. It's a feeling. And you know what? It's honestly a lifestyle choice. And I didn't believe this forever. I didn't believe that you can choose guilt. I thought guilt just came your way. I mean, there are entire religions that guilt is a dominant theme. I won't specify these at this time, but for you that connect, you get it. We grow up often feeling for what we have, feeling bad about necessarily what we have and what we don't have. And it's interesting, it's not until we break the guilt and the shame cycle, we have a difficult time enjoying life. And we got to begin by honestly evaluating why we choose to feel guilt and why we choose to feel shame. Because, you know, if it's nothing that you've done, it's time to let that which no longer serves you go. And it's interesting, after we let go of our upbringing guilt, our program guilt, you know, now it's time to let go of the shame. The guilt that you've created and the guilt you've expected. The best way to do this is to act from a place of courage and purpose to do the right things for you. You know, I have clients that often come in my office for their first appointment holding on to massive amounts of guilt for things they've done in their past that they cannot forgive themselves. They disclose various past pain. I slept with a married man. I lied to my wife. I hide my drinking. I shop and can't tell my husband. I hide my shoes and clothes that I buy in the trunk of my car, and slowly, over a period of weeks, bring them into the house over time so that he won't notice. I feel so bad for my fill in the blank. I feel so guilty for the fill in the blank. And this is a definition of self-prescribed guilt. We are doing things we know aren't right. It goes against our values. And after we go against our values, we feel bad and internalize our guilt and shame. There's only two ways around this. You either stop doing what you feel guilty about, and or you begin to change your core values. You see what I'm saying? I found sometimes that we can change a few of our core values, the ones that took on from our family, our teachings, our classrooms. And when we honestly identify what we value, we can honestly begin to understand ourselves. Our core values go too deep to define our direction, our passions, and are what truly matters in our life. And once we've established our core values and understand them, we can then begin to live within the framework of our values. And within this process, it is human to do things that we regret. However, we can hope to learn from them and reconcile with ourselves, forgive and let go without repeating these same patterns. We live up to our values, our guilt, our shame, it diminishes and eventually is none. The truer to ourselves, the more at peace we become, and ultimately the more joy we have. You know, when we are at peace, we are at peace with our core self. We feel good about ourselves, and ultimately our internal peace radiates to everybody we are around and our environment. The opposite exists too. The more of peace we are, the more we are scared, the more we are fearful and upset by others' comments and actions, the more unpeaceful, the more off-center we become. And it's very interesting because I've seen that when you recognize somebody that's at peace, you can feel it. You know it. You can understand. You can see from where they're coming from, and you can see this calmness around them that isn't usual for many. And what I found, too, is that when people do things that are against their values, you have to sit there and say, either I need to stop doing this because it's against my values, or you need to change your values to make it where it works. And that's what's so amazing, is that we can also change our values too. And say, you know what, I do value this, but I also value that. Making what you're doing acceptable in your own mind. The last thing you want to do is be at war with yourself. Life's hard enough. But think about adding to be in war with yourself all the time is not a fun deal. It's very hard. It's very hard, and it's very painful, and it becomes very difficult because there you are fighting yourself all the time, and it's hard to live a life of action and in the present tense when you're fighting yourself. It just doesn't work. It puts you on the sidelines. It puts you out of the game of life and on the sideline watching other people live their life. And you know what's interesting is the way we feel about ourselves is directly related to how we feel about others we come into contact with. Think about this. You walk into the office in the morning, you had a rough night filled with lots of issues at home. Because of the issues at home, you had difficulty sleeping. You might feel sad, maybe guilty. Because of last night's issues, when you come into contact with others at work, we are thinking about those issues. We go over them again in our minds, and making the interactions at work not very good and productive because we're not really there, right? Because we're really reliving something that took place last night. We may even find others to appear rude, fake, and even hostile because our mind is racing about what took place last night. We are unable to identify the purpose for the conversation that you're having right now with somebody at the office. We see them as frustrating. However, we are frustrating with ourselves. Remember when we came into the office this time, instead of feeling frustrated, let's say we come in and we feel inspired, feeling love and at peace, and all our interactions seem to have some sort of purpose. Those purposes may be very different, but you recognize the value of interaction, and again, you have no fear. It's very interesting because the way we walk into a situation is directly related to how we deal with that situation. Let me explain. Every single interaction that you have with somebody is directly related to the interaction that you started. So, okay. Have you ever walked down the street or you've been at the office? Let's just say you're at the office and you see someone and you say hi. Now, how do you say hi? Do you say, hey? Do you say, what's up? We see, what's up, double threat? Or do you say, hey? And it's always interesting the response that you receive back, is it not? The response you receive back is directly related to what you gave. So if you were the person going, hey, normally somebody will respond back to you with, hey. It's almost identical in sound and inflection and engagement. It's almost identical. It's amazing how identical it can be. And it's funny, I was hanging out with some of my friend's kids one day, and we were kind of laughing and talking, and I love spending time with children because it's so similar to me. It's just like the connection, and it reminds me of what's important, really. We should all try to be children. We should all work to be that inner child because our inner child is always going to be an inner child. And it's worth it to spend time with your inner child. And it was funny, we were all sitting around talking, and the kids, every time I walked in the door, they'd be like, hey! I'd be like, what's up? So I came up with this new concept, is you clap, and then you go, hey! And the whole time you're clapping, right? You're like, yay! It's so good to see you! Woo! And you're smiling really big, and you're all happy, and you got a smile from ear to ear. I'm telling you, try it out. Try it out sometime. You're going to be amazed. At first, some people might think you're just crazy or on drugs. But other than that, for the most part, you're going to get the coolest happiness around you. You're going to feel the love from other people. And there'll be some people that maybe really never really stepped out like that. And they're going to feel so good inside because they're going to feel great that you feel that way. And they're going to respond right back that way. Now, I'm not saying everybody will. There are some folks out there that just will not. They just have a difficult time getting over their personality hurdles. And a lot of it's because, you know, they just never have been very nice. Some people have never been really outgoing, and other people are scared because they don't know the response. I mean, think about how many people out there don't say hi first because they don't want the other person to not remember who they are, or they don't want to wave and not get the wave back. I mean, how many times have you been... This is hilarious. How many times have you been like in a store, a mall, or a big restaurant where you see somebody waving at somebody and that person doesn't see them and doesn't wave back, and that the other person that's waving, like, it's like they look, it's like they feel really sad. And it's almost like they try to act like they weren't waving, like they were messing with their hair, or they were trying to, you know, deflect a bug that was flying around their face. And you know they were waving, and everybody else knows they're waving, but they're trying to act like they didn't. I mean, it's almost like the same as farting on the elevator. It's like you were just waving at somebody, and they didn't see you. It's not that big of a deal, but you know what? In our culture and in our minds, it's defeat. It's defeat. And we feel bad about it. Stay tuned when we return. I'll be talking more about you know, how we deal with other people, more about how we come into contact with people, but better yet, how we directly relate to whatever we present to others, we get back. Stay tuned, because LYTL Perspectives will be back here in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about what we give out, we directly receive, and it's so true. It's so true. Try it at the office tomorrow. When you go into the office, literally, when you see people, hey, what's going on? You know, hey, man, what's up? See exactly how they respond. For the most part, they're going to have an elevated tone. They're going to have a smile. If you have a smile, they're going to have a smile. It's directly proportional. What you give is directly proportional to what you receive. And you can try it out. Go everywhere. Try different types of tones and comments. I mean, I'm telling you, if you go from being like, yay, to, hey, and you're going to get exactly what you give out. And that's what's so wild about our universe, is that we don't realize that we get what we give. You know, when we talk about living at peace, when I talk about living at peace and what living at peace to me means, I think it's important to understand that to live at peace, to be at peace, you've got to have real self-acceptance. You got to have real self-acceptance, because if you don't have that, you can't be at peace, because you can't accept yourself. You see what I'm saying? It all directly correlates. And I know, and some of this seems really easy, but eventually later on down the road, some of this stuff gets complicated and we don't really realize it because we've complicated our own life. You know, when we self-accept ourselves, we recognize our negative self-talk. Our negative self-talk is critical to our happiness or our downfall. And it becomes such an interesting scenario, because it's really a self, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy where we create an environment and a life and circumstances from our talk. But when we begin to live at peace, we have a self-acceptance where we're able to recognize when negative self-talk appears. And we're able to sit back, kind of, you know, in our heart space somewhat, and realize what this negative self-talk is doing to us. We can clearly begin to see, better yet, the choices that we've made in our life because of our negative self-talk, and how this negative self-talk has impacted us in every way, shape, and form. And then when we are at peace, we are able to work to eliminate our negative self-talk, and to begin to keep an eye on any new self, negative self-talk that may sprout. And you know, we have to sit there and wonder, where did the negative self-talk come from? How did this appear? How did this happen to me? Is this normal? Does this happen to other people? Is this a normal thing? Is this crazy? But let's talk about content consumption. Let's talk about content consumption. We study the TV, the film, the music, and other content that we are viewing to understand if this content increases our fear or promotes a peaceful lifestyle. And what I mean by this is, it's time to do a content evaluation when it comes to everything in your life. Everything from TV to the films that you watch, to the music you listen to, all of this matters. All the content that we view, all the content that we hear, that we see, Does it add to our quality of life, or does it increase our fear? If it doesn't promote a peaceful lifestyle, then I say now at this point to chunk it. In no way, shape, or form is this type of content helping you. Instead, it's doing the exact opposite. Because you can expose yourself to peace, right? Not pain. We have the choice. When we are at peace, we choose wisely. When it comes to a lover, friends, the activities we find ourselves putting our time into and our effort into, we have the power of choice. And this choice is extremely powerful with either painful or peaceful consequences. Think about that. This relates directly to you. When we are at peace, we choose wisely. When we know ourselves, we choose wisely. When we understand why we do what we do and we self-accept, we choose wisely. When we work to eliminate that negative self-talk, and I'm going to tell you about how to do that here in a little while, it stops that chatter that gets in the way of good decisions. It's that negative self-talk chatter that literally just sabotages everything. You're over there like, oh man, I'm not even good enough. I'm lucky to have this person in my life. I mean, this person could be Jack the Ripper, for God's sakes, but you're over there saying how what a bad person you are and how nobody likes you and you're lucky to have any friends, right? Jeez, I mean, you'll take anybody. If you don't value yourself or believe in yourself. And that's true, because we can either experience very powerful and peaceful or very powerful and painful consequences. When we were at peace, we also recognized that our power comes from within. Our personal power comes from within and not without. We realize the situations where we've given our power away. We've allowed others to make important decisions for us. In order to be at peace, we realize meditation and prayer goes far to help us mitigate daily stressors and deal with big situations, which may actually appear. But when we're at peace, we're not waiting for the shoe to drop, right? Because when we're waiting for the shoe to drop, we have gone on to the sidelines and we are no longer living a life of peace. We are living a life in fear. Think about that. We can go definitely make things work, and we can definitely work hard in our life to create good, prosperous outcomes. And we can go that next step to make sure that we haven't cut any corners that could cause us problems. But to do all that and to still be fearful, we are missing the point. When we live at peace and true to ourselves, we attract like-minded people who are too, what, at peace. Even with dealing with the death of a loved one, we see the forest through the trees and we understand our place in this world. When we meditate, we use visualizations and imagery to connect with the one source, to calm our fears and to accept love and live by it. With imagination and visualizations, we can walk through situations and ultimately create what we want for in our life. When we were at peace, we realized the one thing that we've done, do we do better than anyone else, and we capitalize on it. What I mean by this is that when we are at peace, we begin to realize our value, and we realize that we do something better than anybody in the world does. Anybody in the planet. And it takes us to understand ourselves and to accept ourselves. And a lot of times these things that we do better than other people. And I'm not saying that you should judge yourself against other people. I'm saying that we're looking at the fact that you are embracing yourself as an individual, that you're putting yourself forward, that you're realizing your value. Not that you're undermining other people, but just that you're realizing what you bring to the table. And I'll give you a little example about me. there's a few things that I think might stand out to you as a person. And I think one of the things that might stand out to you is my voice. My whole life, my entire life, I've had this voice. No, it has not really changed. Even when I was 6 years old, it was very, very similar. I mean, a little growing up made it a little deeper, but really, it's always been this way. And I remember when I was a kid and I would call my friends to go play. And I always wanted to have like that really high-pitched voice. And I wanted it so bad. I wanted to have that voice that, you know, some of my friends had that were cheerleaders. That was so high-pitched and so cute and, oh, so opposite of my voice. And I look back at those times and I thank God that that didn't happen. I thank God that I was able to wake up one day and realize the value that my voice has. And yes, it is something that stands me out from a crowd. And yes, it is something that makes me highly unique. But for many years of my life, what made me unique and what was awesome in me is something I couldn't stand. It was something that I wanted so badly to change. God, if I could just fit in. If I could just fit in. If I could just be like everybody else. If I could just be like those girls on the swim team. If I could just look just like them. If I could be just like them, my life would be okay. And now I am so happy that those dreams and those desires to be somebody not me didn't come true. So think about it. What is the one talent? And there could be several talents. You might not. It might just not be one. It could be a lot of different things that make you very, very talented and very unique. When I think about my listeners, though, the Perspectives listeners, I know that most of you are highly caring, highly efficient, very intelligent people who can be very difficult on themselves. And I understand that because I, too, can be that way as well. When we return, I'm going to be talking more about how to live at peace, more about our power of choice, and more about how our higher purpose directly relates to our unique talents that directly relate to who we are. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Oh, wait, hold on. I almost forgot. Hey, I want to hear from you. I want to hear how you are living your true life. How do you live your true life? What are you doing to live an authentically conscious life? What do you do on a daily basis that takes you into another level of thought process and conscientious thinking? What do you do to master your life? Go to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Go to Facebook. Click on Facebook. Go to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. And tell me how you live your true life. #LYTL. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Like we were talking about earlier, with imagery and visualizations, we can walk through any situation and ultimately create what we want for our life. You know, when we are at peace, we realize the one thing that we do better than anyone else and that we can capitalize on. The one talent that we do better than others is directly related to our higher purpose. The place where those intersect is the golden mean. It's the meaning of life. Where your talent intersects with your purpose. Throughout our lives, we're living at peace. We learn from animals. We take time to learn from animals. Birds and ducks, they shake a tail feather, meaning they dance around, or we should dance around to release tension and stress. That animals move from danger. They innately feel danger. And when they are living at peace, We are living in peace. We are attuned to every situation we are in because we are aware and able to feel. An animal, not always my dog, but an animal knows when something is poison and they don't try it. They stay away. And we realize a losing proposition when we find ourselves in one and we move on to create personal closure. Now, my dog is fine, but he has a tendency of eating absolutely anything, right? But a wild animal, for the most part, will be able to figure out what something is. And when we're able to see things from that perspective, not making all these judgment calls and being able to use our gut reasoning and our heart to understand things, that's when we're on top of it. It's very interesting, too, when we realize that we are in a losing proposition, how amazing it is to realize it and to let it go, to understand it, to see it, and to move from it, and to move on with our own personal closure. You know, we're able to create closure within without needing an outside person to supply something that they can hold from you. When you're at peace, you don't need outside closure. We know when a person is holding it back. We are at peace in our world. We dislodge our life from narcissistic people. We move on with clarity and understanding of our innate worth and how our time is precious and ultimately valuable. We begin to see our life with a new vision, one that expresses our need to respect our time and energy and to only choose to do things we want and need. We begin to find ourselves not too busy, because we regulate our phone activity, our TV activity, and all those other time suckers that we have allowed in our life for a long period of time. In the process, we let friends go when we make new friends that value what we truly and honestly value. Coming from all walks of life and all carrying with them their determination and a higher purpose, we are ready. Yes, we're ready to create this artist palette that we are in growth mode, inspired by being at peace. We're inspired. Inspiration. Inspiration is an interesting thing because when we are inspired, we are in spirit. We are at peace. You know, it's funny. Every summer I get high school seniors as interns for neighboring schools to work with me to produce videos and tape episodes of perspectives. And this last summer, I had a really, really special intern. We discussed his future and his beliefs and his directions, and he thanked me for the experience that he had and that he would be back in the winter break to help out in any way. On the last day before he moved all his stuff down to the University of Texas at Austin, we talked and hugged goodbye for now. A few days later, I began receiving texts from him about the campus and taking pictures of the dorm and his friends and incoming freshman events that he had attended. And one day he sent me a picture of him getting a tattoo of a Delta symbol, which signifies change. He told me that he was getting it to remind him that change is the only constant. And as you can see, the Delta symbol there adorns his right arm. On the first day of school, an hour before his first class, I called. He answered on the first ring. I asked him about his class. He told me his schedule. He told me about the layout of the campus and about how one of his classes was extremely far from the other, but that he'd just have to get used to it. At that very moment, I began to visualize myself back at school in college, walking around campus, getting lost the first week. I remember my favorite classes and teachers, and I reminisced, and I began to get a little sad. I think I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to be a college kid again. I told him I was now wishing I was back in school. I said I should enroll, get another degree, and go to Austin. We both laughed, and he told me I was invited anytime. And he said perhaps I should get my doctorate there. We both laughed again, me thinking of college, realizing I was half daydreaming and talking on the phone, and I wished him a great day of classes. As I got off the phone, I went into the studio and began writing the show. All of a sudden, it came to me. We are all in school. We're in class every minute of every day, right? Think about it. We're in class every minute, every day. Our school is forever. I went a step further and realized when we treat every hour, every interaction as a class, you know what happens? We're no longer worried about the outcome. We are no longer focused on the win or the loss. We are focused on the learning process, the creative cycle, the inspiration. We're focused on the inspiration. There is no judgment. No more judgment. And by seeing life as a classroom with billions of learning opportunities, we turn the tables on in our favor. Now, instead of seeing life as a battle, we see life as a blessing. Instead of feeling weak and ineffective, we accept the tools and we help what we need by not placing judgment. We're powerful and effective without it. When we walk into every situation with the knowledge that this is an opportunity, we begin to act that way. Remember, in situations where we walk in the door already feeling defeated, what happens to us? We are already defeated. Remember that. When we walk into situations and we see it not as a defeat, not as a beating, but as an opportunity, we act that way. Just like when we were saying hi to people at the office. Hey, what's up there, cowboy? Do you see what we get? Try it out. It's amazing. But now think about walking into situations. Instead of thinking it as a problem, think about it as an opportunity. Realizing that even though when we were younger, or maybe even now, we feel like there is scarcity, but there is no scarcity. Either way, if we do what's right, it will work out. There are no losers. There are only self-proclaimed losers. We create our own identity and we roll with it. And if we roll with an identity of opportunity and an identity of a success and a change maker, that is what we have. Think about it. There is no scarcity. And this directly correlates to how we make life difficult. We overlook and forget the best thing that we can do in life is to do what? To drink water. Water, it's that easy. We don't get enough sleep and we wonder why we can't sleep. We overindulge and we wonder why our stomach hurts. And we wonder why we have acid reflux. Think about it. When we bring life back to its basics, we are in a 24-hour day, seven-day-a-week classroom, and the tests aren't really that hard all the time. They're only difficult when we make them hard on ourselves. I've learned the hard way many times before. Many times. And many of those times, and yes, it was difficult, it was hard, it was painful. When I was in my early 20s, I could make any situation difficult. I can make it look for a made-for-TV drama you'd see on NBC or Oxygen or Bravo. And I remember thinking, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? How will everyone react? What's going to happen next? Instead, I begin implementing a way that works better. Instead of labeling the situation, preparing for the worst, and worried about the future, I begin employing clear imagery of a classroom. I began to visualize a classroom, a chalkboard and desks, and even my favorite second grade teacher, Mrs. Jackson. At the beginning of each and every meeting or interaction that in the past would have been very stressful, I use imagery and mentally put myself back in that classroom with Miss Jackson at the front of the desk. My meetings quickly became less stressful. Actually, they became kind of fun and exciting. I'm human too. So anytime I feel myself feeling fearful, I instantly employ my classroom imagery to put me back into the right mindset. It's interesting. I've been in some of the toughest meetings I've had in my life recently. And at first, I might have gotten a little fearful, but it was when I finally realized to go back into that classroom visualization. I was able to see all kinds of options and realize that I did have options. And that when I stopped looking at things so critically and defining them in such a negative way, I usually got some degree of what was right or what I wanted. So now begin your visualization of your classroom. Begin to see the desks. the classroom, the chalkboard, even the smell of the new books can help create and lock in your classroom visualization. I want you to now go into that classroom for the rest of our time together and to employ this life changer every day of your life. It's like seeing from a different, no judgment, no fear pair of peace eyes for the rest of your life. In order to be at peace in our classroom of life, we've got to love ourselves. We've got to love and show compassion for ourselves in order to truly love another. There's no way out. We have to do that. We have to truly love ourselves and have compassion for ourselves and understand the value that we have. And once we do that, we're truly able to love another person. And it's so amazing because we're able to see love because we love ourselves. In our next hour, when I return, I'm going to be talking more about exercises that you can do to help your mind and body, and also how to continue to be at peace throughout your day, throughout every hour, every minute of the day, and how you can employ this classroom to work for you to your advantage in every situation you find yourself. Don't forget to check me out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, always at Ashley Burgess, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. Also, listen to me on Spreaker. It's a really awesome podcasting place to listen, to get amazing ideas and content. And I'm loving on Radio Monterey. This is a great station for amazing people who want to be the best they can be. Stay tuned when we return to me talking more about the classroom setting and how you can learn 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and enjoy your life. Perspectives of your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time and be back this time in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about how to live at peace, how to feel at peace, how to be at peace. And I was talking about how when we begin to visualize our classroom setting, we see our classroom, we see the desk, we see the chalkboard, we even have the smell of the new books can help create and lock in our classroom. And I want you now to go into your classroom for the rest of our time together to employ this life changer every day of your life. Once we do this, it's like seeing from a different, non-judgmental, no-fear-based pair of peaceful eyes. And in order to be at peace in our classroom of life, we've got to love ourselves. We've got to love and show compassion for ourselves in order to truly love another. Right now, I want you to do an exercise with me. It doesn't involve running or jumping up and down. I mean, I know we can do that later if you want. Instead, I want you to say, I love you for only yourself to hear. I want you to say, I love you inside of your body, in your mind, and allow it to move throughout your entire body. So I want you to begin by slowly repeating, I love you. As you do this exercise, I want you to see the words, I love you, to visualize them, to feel the feelings that begin within your head, travel down to your throat, to your chest, through your stomach, down your legs, to your feet, to your toes, and back up again. I want you to visualize the love loop it creates from head down through your toes and back to your head again. Okay? It's a love loop. And I know for some of you might be like, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this. But you know what? I'm telling you, I think you might like it. I think you might like it. So again, we're going to begin by slowly repeating I love you, by visualizing the words, seeing them, feeling the feeling beginning in your head, traveling down through your throat, down your chest, through your stomach, down your legs, into your feet, down through your toes, and looping back into your mind, back into your head, back at the crown of the top of your head. And I want you to visualize this love loop as you say, I love you. And I want you to repeat this, visualize the words, feel the words, say them over and over again slowly with intent and let the words flow through your entire body, making a loop from head all the way down to your toes. And I'm going to give you a few seconds to do that. Normally, if you were in a session with me, I'd give you about a minute to do that. But since we are here on radio, I will not let that much dead air go by. Here you go. 5 seconds. I love you. I think that you understand where I'm going with this, and you can do this exercise at any time. Because love is the strongest and only real true emotion that we can be. We don't have love, right? Instead, we are love. Think about it. Clients come in all the time and tell me that they are depressed. They are angry. They're insulted. They are, well, you know what? Fill in the blank. However, when you see a picture of a lime, okay, so think about this. A lime, a green lime, as some people use to put in their spritzers or their vodkas or whatever, or their margaritas. You see a picture of a lime, your mind doesn't say you are a lime. Instead, it says that's a lime. That is a lime right there. That's a lime. When we say I am angry, it's the same thing as saying I am a lime. Isn't that crazy? Our self-definitions keep us in a box. They put massive restrictions on us. They put restrictions on us and they define us in ways that aren't beneficial and keep us in a place of little personal power. You know, when I was angry, I am no longer Ashley. I've given up my identity for a self-defeating identity that only serves to upset me and keep me away from my true self. We hear people use the words true self, authentic self, and what do those mean to you? True self and authentic self means there's another level of identity that is real, that is true, that is genuine substance of who you are, your authentic self. That is who you are at your absolute core. It is the part of you not defined by your job, your function, or your role. It is the composite of all skills, talents, and wisdoms that you have is your authentic self. However, in order to be authentic, we can't be anything other than our true self. There's no judgment, no guilt, no shame. Being the person we were meant to be. The spirit who chose to come into this world, the spirit who lives in the body that we bathe and feed. Spirit is not angry, not mad, not depressed. Instead, spirit is light, it is love, it is peace, and it is all of these authentic characteristics that create happiness with ourself. When we are happy with ourselves, our life gets easier. When we're happy with ourselves, our love and life does get easier. It's interesting. I mean, all of a sudden, things are very different. It gets easier. Life gets easier. We love people. We're joyful. And we are cool with our own vulnerability. And others feel our unique presence. Wherever we are, wherever we go, when we walk into a room, people turn to look at you because they can feel your energy. They can feel the energy that you bring. Your spirit is light, beautiful, and unique. It's absolutely quite breathtakingly wonderful. Because spirit is not angry and it's not mad. It's not depressed. Instead, spirit is light. It is that love. It is that peace. It is those authentic characteristics that create happiness and joy with ourself. And it's interesting when we talk about happiness and joy, how our frequency tends to change and we feel more uplifted, we feel happier, we feel less stressed out, we feel more on top of things, we feel like we have a good beat on things, our life seems a little more logical and understanding, and we seem to understand where we are and where we want to go. And it's interesting when you do have this light that you shine. When you do have the spirit light that we shine when we are being authentic. When we have the spirit light that we shine when we're being authentic, people feel it immediately. People feel it. People turn around to see you, to look at you. to get to know you, to find out more about you. Because you exude confidence and you inspire others. On the other hand, there will be people who will not connect with you. Some of your old friends may even move on without you. And you may feel a little lonely. However, this is the process needed and necessary to make the room in your life for the right people to enter your life right now. The longer we live being our authentic self in every situation, every minute of the day, the more we become a shiny beacon for others to map their course to enlightenment and self-understanding. When we choose to live authentically, we begin to question some of our old patterns and our old ways of doing things. For me, I began questioning medications, lifestyle, and some of the people that were the closest to me. I realized that my time is valuable and I no longer can spend time with people who don't value my time and don't love themselves because they in no way know or understand how to love another person. It was like a hyper download of information. It was like a conscious download and it just started coming and coming and coming. It's amazing the amount of information you receive when you're at peace and you're not making judgment calls. I began to realize the many ways that I've been putting myself down and how I held on to beliefs that no longer serve a purpose. It's really amazing the stuff that we hold ourselves down with and the stuff that we've derived to cause pain in our own life. The things that we have created in our own life that do not add peace. Instead, they make us sad, upset, angry, depressed, all these things that cause us to question our life when we are out of sync and we are not at peace and in the flow. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about negative self-talk, how to eliminate that to get into being at peace, and better yet, how to see when you are off base or off-centered and how to get yourself back on target. Because even the smartest people in the world can get off target when they are surrounded by a lot of people that might not be in the same spiritual realm or thought process or mental realm as they are. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about how to live and be at peace with yourself, be authentically self-acceptance and being honest with yourself. And one of the biggest things that I would like to talk about when I'm dealing with clients and friends and everybody else who wants to be happy, who wants to be at peace, who wants to live a life worth living is that I explain the fact that negative self-talk is the hypercritical, unhappy part of our life. And what happens is in our minds, we have this negative self-talk that goes off. We have all these things going off in our head and we think about how we're either this or that or those or this and things are good or things aren't good or we're not as good as we thought we were or we think we're better than we should be or whatever it is or we should be doing this better. We should be doing that better. We're not that talented or we have a long way to go. Whatever it is that's in your mind, that negative rattling around self-talk has got to be taken care of. Yes. It's time to take it out. It's time to take it out. It's time to whack the negative self-talk because this stuff is really kind of not cool, okay? I mean, it doesn't work for me. I mean, it's been around in my head for a while, and I get it. But, I mean, at first, I didn't really realize it. And then I did realize it. I remember as a kid, you know, saying things, and you hear stuff. Maybe the coach says you're not the fastest runner. Maybe mom or dad were kind of rough. You know, maybe you had another family member that was a little difficult. Maybe, you know, was really kind of mean. Or maybe a lot of it was personal, where you made judgments on yourself or coupled with judgments of other people. And we hold that stuff in our head and we go, oh my God, you know, I'm no good at this, I'm no good at that. And it keeps going on and on and on. And it rattles on and on to the point where it's like, oh my God. And so right now I want to talk about negative self-talk and how you can begin to rid your mind of negative self-talk right now, today. And if you continue to do this exercise, you will transform your life in such a huge, huge way. Because eventually, I'll tell you, if you keep doing it long enough, because if you're aware long enough, you will actually move to such a different level in your life that you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is absolutely attainable. I can't believe that I was able to attain this, to get to this level, to move to that next level, to get to that next level, to graduate. So let's talk about negative self-talk real quick, because some people, there's two different sets of negative self-talk. The negative self-talk that you can hear, that you know exists, and the negative self-talk that you don't hear, but unfortunately you act from all the time. Now let me explain the two. Some of the times you hear the negative self-talk, it can be, let's say you walk into a situation at work and they're working on a project and you're no good at, you're not very good at Illustrator, let's say Adobe Illustrator. You've always had a little trouble with Adobe Illustrator, so you're not really looking forward to this because they're working on Adobe Illustrator to produce something. And so your first thought comes to mind, oh God. Yeah, I'm really not good at this Adobe Illustrator stuff. Crap. This is gonna suck. Okay, that's a little bit of negative self-talk right there. But let's take it to a different level. A job opens up at the office that you would like to have. It's a good spot. It's obviously a move up on the chain of command, and it also would give you a lot more responsibilities. It's something that you've kind of always thought about. However, some of us can have such negative thoughts and feelings about ourselves that we just decide not to even apply because we're not going to get the job anyway. And let me explain. I had a client come in. This is about 6 months ago. And he said, you know, hey, I have this, there's a job that is available and it's something I would really love to do. And I think I'd be good at it. I'm totally trained and I've been working with them for a long time. But you know what? The last time I applied for a job, another job there, I got turned down. I got turned down and I just don't think I could deal with it, with getting turned down again. I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, you know, it's like the lottery, right? You don't win unless you play. You can't win. You can't get the position if you don't apply. I know, but I just don't know. And so he ended up not applying to the position. And about a week later, he found out that somebody that he trained got the job. Because he had not applied. Because he had not applied, they could not hire him, so they hired the person that he actually trained. And when I saw him the next time, he was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. Like, what was I thinking? I was like, well, you seem to be very stressed out and scared about not getting that last position that you told yourself that you weren't going to apply for this position because you didn't want to get turned down. And I think that the scare of being turned down is what got in your way. Now, think about this. In his mind, I said, can you hear that you weren't going to get the job or that you weren't good enough? And he goes, no. He goes, I just acted from that. I just knew in my heart that I just was not going to get the job. And a lot of times when we have a lot of negative self-talk that's been going on for a long period of time, we don't hear it anymore. Unfortunately, the sad thing is that we respond and we act from that position our whole life. So, for example, if we don't feel like we're good enough and our negative self-talk is telling us how bad we are, but we might not even hear it because it's almost to the point where it's like white noise now. You're not even paying attention to it. You're not even paying attention to it. And at that point in time, you just act from that position. Okay, why should I even get out of bed? So right now, I want us to all focus on the fact that for the most part, 98%, 99% of the population has negative self-talk. Now, how much you have depends on a state of mind. It happens to depend on maybe an upbringing and a family situation. It also has to depend on how hard you are on yourself or what you want from yourself. And a lot of times, this negative self-talk will appear in a stressful situation or even in quiet situations, for example, driving. And a lot of us have a tendency of putting the music on as loud as we can. Why? Because we're trying to drown out our own voices. It's not the voices in my head that scare me. It's the voices in yours. Seriously. And that negative self-talk creeps into everything we do. And so what I want us to do right now as an exercise is that think about, visualize or understand that there is some sort of negative self-talk. If you're not as successful as you want to be, if you don't feel like your life is exactly where it needs to be, then there is some negative self-talk and we got to find out where that's at. So let's step back and begin to realize what we can do. First off is to accept the fact that we do have negative self-talk. The second thing is to spot it. You got to catch it. You got to catch it. And the way to catch it is to understand that it's there. And then when you begin to hear it, visualize the words. So, okay, for example, some people say, I'm not good enough. I'll never be happy because I'm not a good person. I'm an idiot. I'm stupid, whatever. When you hear that going through your mind, visualize the sentence itself with the words, like almost visualize it, like print it out on a chalkboard. And it'll be fleeting through your mind. So you'll see like, I'm an idiot or whatever it is. And you'll see that in your mind. And you can even have like a little, you know, it could all be in white or black text or whatever, or white text. And I like to visualize a Nerf, you know, those Nerf guns, those little Nerf guns. They shoot those little styrofoam balls out. And as I visualize those words, as I hear my negative self-talk, that broken record that's never done anything for me to help me out in my whole life except for hold me back, once that negative broken record starts going, I visualize the words that I hear instead of just let them go in and out through the earways, and I take my imaginary Nerf gun and I shoot out the words with my Nerf pellets. So I see the visualize the words, right? And they're kind of like in air. And my words happen to be in white. Because it's easier for me to get rid of them. And I can see them like fall down. And I shoot my Nerf gun with the little pellets, the little plastic pellets. And I shoot down the words. And they poof. They poof out of my mind. And I continue to do that until there isn't any more negative self-talk. And this can take a while. This can take a while because we programmed our own minds, okay? When we return, I'm going to continue to talk about how we can shoot these ideas out, how we can shoot the negative self-talk away, and how we can become more positive. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about how to be at peace, how to have a life that's at peace, that's authentic, that's calling for you, that the life that you're supposed to be living with your purpose, intent, and unique ability that crosses together for the golden mean. Okay. And right now I've been talking about negative self-talk. I've been talking about how to eliminate that negative self-talk in our lives that we have. Most of us have it. 99.9% of us have it. And I was talking about how instead of just hearing the words, I'm an idiot or I'm a loser or whatever it is. And I know some of you out there say that, you know, your negative self-talk is probably pretty bad. You wouldn't take this kind of conversation from anybody. You would not accept anybody to speak to you like this in your entire life. But yet, you allow yourself to speak to you this way every single day, every single minute of the day. And you actually act from it. You actually make life choices based on that. So let's talk about the exercise again. I do this with all my clients. And we work on it, and we work on it until we've gotten past it. And there is definitely upkeep involved. This isn't just a one time you're done. There's definite upkeep. However, let's visualize the words of our negative self-talk. And let's begin to visualize that right now. And I like to visualize mine in white lettering that's kind of just floating in my brain. And as each comment comes into my head, I visualize that comment and I take my imaginary Nerf gun. My imaginary Nerf gun with those little Nerf pellets, and I shoot out each word. Poof. And they're gone. Some of you can use an imaginary bow and arrow. Others of you could use an imaginary, you know, dustbuster. But I prefer to poof it out instead of keeping it. And I do this, I call this Nerf play. I call this Nerf play, and some of you might call it spring cleaning or cleaning, brain cleaning. And you got to constantly do this because we've been doing this for so long. We've been telling ourselves negative stuff for so long that we've bought into it for so long. And the issue with that is that it's been around for a long time. It has been the head chief of staff running your life forever. And now you're about to dethrone the chief of staff and put yourself on. It's time for you to rule your roost. It's not time for negative self-talk to be ruling the roost. The negative self-talk has been ruling for a long time. So because it's been ruling for a long time, it has a tendency of talking whenever it wants to. And it has the sense of telling you the worst things possible at the absolute worst time. It's time to catch up. It's time to be a good adversary, and it's time to let this person go. And as we do these exercises over and over again, and when you feel the negative self-talk creeping in, you watch it and you analyze it and you see it. The best thing you can do is to be aware of it. The best thing you can do is to be aware of it. It's an interesting scenario. The best thing you can do is to be aware of it. And you have to be so careful that you're aware of it. And once you're aware of it, it makes it a lot easier because you know now that it's there. Once you know it's there, then you can use the techniques to knock out the negative self-talk from your mind and to be able to clean your mind. It's like a pool sweep. You go in there and you get all the leaves and you get all the dirt and you clean it all out, and that's what you're doing. Because let me explain something, and I talked about this in my first book and in my second book. Think about your mind as a glass of water affixed to a table. Think about your mind as a glass of water affixed to a table where there's water in there. There's like murky water, there's some dark water, there's some clear water, but it's all in one cup, all in one glass. And you can see that it's not completely clean, right? But it's affixed to the table, so you can't just like pick up the glass, throw it in the sink, wash it out, and put new water in it. No, you can't do that with your mind either. So how do you clean your mind? It begins by eliminating negative self-talk, but this is how you do it. In order to clean a mind like this, you have to bombard it with clean information, with clean intake with clean consumption of content. Just the same as the cup, because it's affixed to the table, you can't clean it out like you would, so you have to bombard it by clean water. And eventually, the murky water, after it keeps being bombarded by this clean water, will eventually, the murky water will come out of the glass, and the clean water will be left. And it's the same thing when we think about negative self-talk. Once we're able to eliminate this negative self-talk, which takes a while because we've been doing it for so long, you can't expect to change something overnight that you've been doing for a lifetime. You're not able to do that. It's not the way that we're built. But over a period of time, if we focus on this, and I usually tell people, if you're 35 years old and you're going through this for the first time, it will take you a good 3 weeks to really grasp this. And some of you, it could take a couple weeks. Some of you, it could take longer. But for the most part, 3 to 4 weeks, a good month of constantly being aware of your talk, of your negative self-talk, spotting it, jumping on it, getting rid of it immediately, and then waiting for the next to come is how you have to do it. This is the way, this is the end-all be-all of getting rid of negative self-talk. And what this does is this allows you to completely have a different life. This allows you to change up your life in such a way that you're able to have all kinds of amazing things in life because you know that you are allowed to. That it's okay, that you're a good enough person to have good things coming to them. I know, I said it. You're a good person that you should have good things coming to you. And I find that interesting because a lot of people have a very bad self-esteem or very negative self-esteem. And it's based on the fact that they're judging themselves. They're judging themselves by their negative self-talk. And that negative self-talk is worse than an enemy, because at least with an enemy, you know the person's an enemy. Your negative self-talk comes from you, so you believe it. You believe it as gospel truth. You're the one saying it. There's got to be truth to it. But really, I beg to differ. It's coming from your mind. It's coming from your mind. And the thing that a lot of us don't realize is that our mind is supposed to help us, not to judge us. Our mind is supposed to be there for us. It's supposed to help us make rational decisions and good choices. It's not supposed to take us down a notch and hurt us and mentally kick us and pull us down when we feel at our most vulnerable. It's to help us figure out life. It's to help make good choices. Positive choices for us. Now that some of you have begun to realize that you do have negative self-talk, now let's begin to talk a little bit more about the road that we travel. You know, throughout our life, we work to overcome that adversity. We work to fall in love, to find purpose. We experience life's sweet nectar. And we work to overcome our past and to embrace our present moment. You know, throughout our life, many of us feel as though we are running a race that doesn't end, a race filled with hardship, determination, and hopeful eventual clarity. Throughout the years of my life, I'm learning, constantly seeing, and constantly feeling. I look into people, situations I find myself in life with much love and open arms, more than I used to. With the same thought, I possess clarity from past living, past mistakes, and past triumphs that help me to formulate my perspective on life. Perspective is much different from perception. Our perspective is carefully crafted with experience, understanding, learning from others, and garnished with love. Perception is what we think is happening. Usually perception isn't correct and it takes us off target further from the truth and eventual derailment and somewhat life sidetracking. I find it funny, maybe not funny, ha ha, but funny strange. When I meet someone who makes a jump decision on another person, thinking that they have them pegged and using that perception to judge the same person. Recently, I was at the airport. A man walked up to the counter and held out his ticket to the baggage claim handler behind the counter. The baggage claim handler quickly dismissed him and told him to get in line. I looked at the gentleman up and down, and I realized that he had no bags and also determined that he was from a Spanish-speaking culture. I asked him if I could help using the little Spanish that I knew. As soon as I spoke, his face lifted up, and he asked me if I could help him find out where his gate was located and how to get there. I quickly explained to him how to find it, where he needed to go. He smiled, we hugged one another, and he went on his way. The baggage handler looked over at me and told me thank you. He said I didn't know what the man wanted. In this situation, no one is to blame. However, we do tend to jump to conclusions and to make snap decisions when it comes to others. When we return, I'll be talking more about these snap decisions and more about how we can step back and learn a lot when we just allow things to be. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I was just talking about the baggage handler situation when the gentleman walked up to the baggage handler and he handed him his ticket, and the baggage handler immediately was like, get in line. You need to get in line. And I realized the guy didn't have any luggage and he had his ticket, so there was something up. And then I started realizing that I think he spoke a different language. And as I spoke a little Spanish, thinking that he spoke Spanish, which I was right, he smiled from ear to ear, was so happy, and he asked me how to get to his gate. It was that simple. It was really just that simple. And the baggage handler looked back at me and said, hey, thank you. I didn't know what the guy wanted. I had no idea. And there was no one to blame in the situation. However, I think we tend to jump to conclusion and make snap decisions when it comes to other people. I think we often go back into our memory bank and make decisions on others based on our life, our past, or the people and situations that we've come into contact with. All of these are assumptions. I remember as a child, my dad would say, making an assumption makes an ass out of you and me. And I've never forgotten that, because anytime I've made an assumption in the past, for the most part, I was wrong. We use assumptions to put a wedge between others and ourselves. It makes it easier for us to live our life feeling as though we have a good beat on things and to carry on. I find that interesting, because a lot of people make a lot of assumptions about a lot of people, and they don't take into consideration that people have hearts and souls, and they don't take into consideration that we're not all that very much that different. We all come from the same source. We're all connected, but a lot of us choose to not see it that way. A lot of us choose to not see it that way. We'd rather see things differently, and all man is an island, and we don't have to worry about anybody else, but that's just not true. With every moment, I realize the bigger picture, that this life is awesome, it's radiant, and it's full of amazing opportunities that we may or may not even see. It's when we don't recognize opportunities that I believe we feel disillusioned. We feel as though we are always just scraping by. And we find ourselves unhappy and disillusioned. We feel as though we are always just scraping by, and we find ourselves unhappy and disappointed. And throughout my life, some opportunities have honestly presented themselves in a beautifully wrapped present. However, honestly, that is a complete and utter rarity. It's rare for an opportunity to come in certain wrapping. I find that many opportunities pose themselves as work, sacrifice, and ultimately time-consuming. Not all time-consuming sacrifice is an opportunity, but some of it actually is. If performed correctly, and with determination and honesty, things that seem like a sacrifice can be an ultimate opportunity. The way we participate is directly related to the benefits that we reap. I find the way that we define opportunity may change with time, as well as we may begin to incorporate far different definitions that at one time or another did not conjure opportunity in our mind. It's time to begin to see where you are. Where you are is far more important than where you've been and where you're going. We tend to live in the past or in the future with little passion and little love for the present moment. It's time for you to begin to see life's splendor as you live in the moment, the present moment. Because the present moment is a gift that we all receive. Whether or not we recognize it is another story. You can recognize the present moment by experiencing everything about it, the sounds, the smells, and your feeling about it. When we see the moment as a present instead of a means to an end, we can begin to embrace the moment at that time. In my latest book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, I discuss the way of the dog. The way of a dog is a philosophy that I conjured one day when I was driving myself and my dog around town. I watched how he looked at all the cars and sniffed everything, and it seemed to enjoy every single moment. I mean, have you seen that before? Do you have a dog where you take him on a walk and you could have walked him that way a million times, but it doesn't matter because he's happy because he's on a walk. He feels good. He feels amazing. He's so happy. It's the same when you put him in the car. They're just like, oh my God. And I mean, they're just so happy. I usually seatbelt mine in. My dog's name is Buddy. And I usually seatbelt him in. And I do this because, you know, you don't want him to go crazy because he's just so intense on this experience. It's an amazing experience. Like, he is very intense on the fact that this is amazing. This is great stuff. And I think that's so amazing when we are able to see and understand how a dog reacts to something as simple as a walk or a ride in the car. And I feel that this is very important for us to do in our own life. It's your turn to live by the way of the dog. By living this way, life is new and exciting, and something's always truly interesting. Think about it. The opposite of the way of the dog is those friends that you have that you love, but oh my goodness, it's always something where they're like, oh, this sucks. Same shit, different day. Oh God, all I can do is wait for, you know, happy hour to take the blues away because my life has gotten so humdrum and boring. My God. I mean, I'd be writing you some prescriptions for all kinds of stuff. I'm just kidding. I don't agree with that. But I mean, I think that some medication can help in certain cases, but I think that some of it is when we stop living and we start living on the sidelines and we start judging everything in our life. If we think our life is so awful and we keep judging everything in our life is so awful, we're not going to be very happy about living our life. Instead, we're going to get upset. We're going to get angry. And if we look at life from the way of the dog standpoint, we don't judge anything. And it goes back to the classroom setting. Remember your classroom. It goes back to that classroom setting because when you go into life and you realize that life is a learning technique 24/7, and we understand that, and we figure that out, and that's cool. And then we get to that next level where we realize that we don't have to judge it because it's learning. And we don't no longer dread this process because we actually see that we're getting something out of it. When we're able to live by the way of the dog, everything has no judgment and everything is new. Because every single moment is a new moment. Every single moment is a new moment. And you begin to embrace everything, perhaps for the first time, seeing life for what it is and not worrying about what it isn't. And I know that people sit there and say, life is so short. And everybody goes, yes, yes, I know. But I don't want you to go from being, I'm so bored, to, oh my God, where did the time go? There's got to be a middle ground. And it's time to live the way of the dog, to live the way of being in the classroom 24/7, to visualize that classroom, to see it as it is, to smell the books, to see your favorite teacher, which is so cool. I mean, that is awesome. To tell yourself, I love you, and to visualize it, and making a love connection within your own body, going from your head to your toes and back to your head and saying, I love you, and feeling it and visualizing it, as well as eliminating your negative self-talk. I mean, if you use that Nerf gun, or you find a bow and arrow or something else that you would rather use, great, but do it daily. Don't let that negative self-talk sneak in and change your life. Realize that when you start getting negative or upset about things, realize that it's probably some negative self-talk that's going off right now. That's a problematic situation and can be taken care of by using that Nerf gun. Visualize your classroom and realize that the way of the dog is the way to live. You've got this one life, and this is your life to live. It's time to continue to live, but to make it your best life, to live your true life. Because that's what all that matters, right? It's about you living your true life, not someone else's life. You. It's your time. It's your place. In 2016 is going to be your best year yet. Thank you. I feel like this is so intrinsically true. And it's interesting, when we say the words out loud, we feel them. It's time to say, I love you, and embrace your life. It's your time. Stay tuned. I have a great show for you next. And check out Spreaker. Check out Radio Monterey as well. Check out my website at Ashley Burgess. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. Read some of the latest blogs. And if you're interested in Skype therapy sessions with me, I do Skype worldwide. And I am definitely ready to meet you. I am taking on a few new clients here this month. And I would love to have you as one. You can go online to my website and send me a direct contact email, and I will directly respond back to you. Just fill out the contact sheet. So go to my website. You'll see About, I believe, and you can click on that, and you'll see the contact page. And you can click on that and send me a message. If you'd like me to return the call or return it by Skype, I can do that as well. Looking forward to another show with y'all tomorrow. Have a good night. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time and 3 shakes.